like so many of us were, I was lucky enough to get walloped by a case of COVID last year, around actually this very same time. With what was already a very unpleasant experience, I also lost my sense of smell and taste for a couple of weeks. Now, I have a very strong sense of smell, a strong sniffer, if you will, and it was really jarring to me not to be able to access that. I was very worried that it was never going to come back, that carrots would taste the same as everything else forever. Even my experience taking a shower was different. It was so weird not to be able to smell while washing my hair or while using soap. Today's episode is a little bit of a different one. It's not a tips and how-tos and action steps kind of episode. It's a story. It is the story of Elita Dodd, owner of Marbella Perfumes, who also loves stories. She loves bringing together stories and scents in a powerful way and showing us just how important that sense of smell is in our lives, how it can invoke feelings, how it can invoke memories, how it has a personality. And it's a lot of fun when you start learning about the science behind it. In my chat with her, we get into how she started, where the path in the road took her on a totally different journey than planned, and some of the things that she's had to face and overcome as a product-based artisan business owner. Elita Dodd is a perfumer for lovers of beautiful fragrances who can't tolerate traditional perfumes. She loves showing people how perfumes and smells are a sensorial component to teach critical thinking, to create new habits, and actually form cohesive teams. She's a former industrial engineer who spent many, many years in healthcare, logistics, supply chain management, and now she uses her engineering and chemistry background to create intricate perfumes and showcase that relationship between art and science. When she's not making her perfumes, you can find her spending time with her husband and her two teenagers, volunteering with the children's voice choir, biking, doing yoga, or daydreaming about traveling. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the She Built This podcast, where we are sharing the stories of professionals and entrepreneurs who are on a mission to create the new norm by following their dreams and making them a reality. I'm your host, Emily Aborn, and together we are inspiring, growing, and giving you the tools you need to bring ideas to life so you can build whatever this means for you. Hi, Elita, and welcome to the She Built This podcast.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here today.
I'm so glad our paths have finally crossed. I know we have a lot of mutual connections. So I want to kick us off by, I was getting ready this morning and I use witch hazel on my face. And I have this bottle of witch hazel where every time I squeeze the bottle and smell it, it brings me back to this moment in my childhood where we're at our friend's house and I'm in their pool house and all I can smell is the bouncy or, you know, the floaty items in their pool house. And for some reason, it evokes a very, very positive, happy memory in me when I smell the witch hazel. So needless to say, I won't be eliminating that from my skin routine. But I want to know, like, the science behind that and why that is happening and why I'm transporting to when I was 11 years old when I'm in my bathroom washing my face.
I love this. What a way to start this interview. So our sense of smell is directly tied to our brains and specifically to our limbic system, where we store all of our moods, our emotions, our memories. And I always say that when my kids were little and we used to play these superhero games, they would always inevitably ask, what would you like your superpower to be? And I would always say, I want to teleport and I want to be a healer. Everybody had their superhero name and everything was hilarious. And I realized that it's basically kind of like teleporting your sense of smell, because in an instant, you are transported somewhere else, usually to something you love or something you hate. And that's why when we smell something, whether it's perfumes or anything else, we have a visceral reaction. It's a very physical reaction for us. We cringe if we hate something. And when we love it, it's just that specific moment in time. It's magical. So
it is magical.
Don't get rid of that witch hazel.
So now I want to know a little bit more about your story. Like, how did I know that you, we read your bio before you joined, and I know that you had your toes in the engineering world. So how did you make that leap from engineering to becoming a perfumer? Like, what was the sort of breadcrumb trail you followed to get there?
So let me just say that that was actually nothing magical. It was not that I daydreamed about someday becoming a perfumer or anything like that. It was the furthest from my mind. It was actually out of necessity. I got pregnant with my first child and my sense of smell wreaked havoc. I went from the girl who spritz herself from head to toe to completely banning perfume from my house and anybody who wanted to visit me. And my dad was like a huge offender who would just come and leave trails of scent. And I was like, you could leave your bottle at home. Do not come here. So after that, everything kind of went back to normal. But really, my sense of smell was, it would just become overwhelmed. So it wouldn't necessarily send me through, you know, to having those reactions that were so bad. But I couldn't wear perfume in the same way that I always did, which I loved. And I was forever trying to find that special bottle. So I would go, I would buy it, and I'd be like, okay, this is the one. And 2 days later, I'd be calling my mom and saying, do you want a bottle of perfume? And that's kind of how it went for 12 years until we went on a trip to London, to Fordham and Mason. And we just happened to walk into the beauty floor, and I thought, I told the salesperson my woes, my perfume woes. And she said, well, you know, there's a lot of famous designers who work with natural materials. And it just kind of piqued my interest. And that's just, I think that's where my engineering brain comes in, because it's one of those, you know, mindset moments like, oh, I could do that, you know, but little did I know that it would be years of study and a completely different journey and path and love where this would take me.
I'm with you. I'm extremely sensitive to smells. And when people, especially when people are wearing the wrong perfume for like their body type, it's just so overt to me and obvious. And I'm very, very sensitive to smells as well. I'm also very drawn to certain smells. But now I kind of want to bring in that sort of like engineering piece. Like, how did you, what are the parallels there? And then I guess really, like, how did you make the transition? Because that's a pretty big leap.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think the first thing that it's almost like I have license to explore things. And that's maybe it's the training, right? The engineering training that you have to figure things out. So nothing is ever, or at least at the very beginning, it's my first go-to. It's always, oh, I could do that. And if I can't do it, I'm going to figure it out. And this was, like I said, this was kind of like, I'm going to make a perfume that I'm going to love from start to finish. And it just sort of started like that. And it was that. Then, of course, I know that there's all the science. I knew going in, there's going to be some science in this, and that's fine. What I did not know was how much numbers there is behind the formula. And total nerd here, I was so happy and surprised. And it's kind of funny because it's almost, I love numbers, but it's like that, it's like a challenge, right? You almost have a challenge in front of you. And then it just becomes this cool thing in my eyes. So it wasn't just about mixing the right scents, but when I realized how much math there was behind it, it made it seem very interesting to me. And it just kind of kept going. There was that scientific component that I loved just because I love things like that. And then I realized that connection between the science of the brain and your well-being, your moods, and that took a completely different path. So the engineering, people used to ask me, what's the connection? And I think the easy connection, it's the math and the science behind it. But what I really have found out, it's the connection of stories, the connection of people, the connection of that why do you like things you like? What takes you there? What's the story behind that? So when that bottle it's finished, it ceases to be all the science and the math, and there's basically a collection of stories. And that is even more fascinating for me than the engineering portion, and that's really the connection, the stories that we build in there.
I love the blend of art and science. Like that is what I'm always telling kind of I do in my work too, as with writing and SEO. It's like a blend of art and science, and I love that. So a couple things that I had heard you say in a podcast interview I was listening to of yours was that you said that every well two things. You said that every smell has kind of like in your mind, you see it as a personality, like you see it as a persona. So I want you to talk more about that and how you use that concept to help people find the right smells for them. But the second thing that I had heard you say was how every scent has multiple layers to it. And I found that really, really interesting. Like so often we think of some a smell as just like one thing. When you talked about, and I imagine that's where some of those numbers come in, right? So it kind of has like you can smell the undertones of certain things. And I loved that. But let's talk about that personality piece and how you use that to help people to find a smell that is meaningful for them.
Absolutely. It's so, and I love what you said about arts and science because that is, there's such a fine line between art and science, and that's magical. And when I'm doing analysis and it's almost like you're really getting to know these components on a very personal level. So when I smell something for the first time, I will definitely think of colors, of textures, of shapes, even of sounds. And of course, there's all the memories. So that is a completely different component. But to me, all these scents also have a real personal character to them. And I find that the citrus smells, just in general, they're very uplifting, right? But I especially love, and I think the one that you're thinking about, there's this one that's in my first perfume that's called Ever Present. There's a note in there that's called Litsi Kubeva. And it really reminds me of kind of as a little girl, just if there was such a thing as a field of lemon candy. Just sort of like skipping through that. It's that sweet and tart and fun and just wild and carefree moments that you have as children, usually. And to me, this one is so much fun. I feel like this would be the kind of person that opens up the dance floor at a party and the one that's just getting the party started and inviting everyone to dance. And just like that, then you have your woods that are more grounding and more, it's almost like not serious, but that kind of, that moment of, I don't know, you're almost speaking to this very wise person. And that's sort of like what those kind of scents signify for me. And I love doing that because it makes me feel like I'm getting to know these scents. And when I'm mixing things, and also when I'm doing it with someone for the very first time, they'll come in and they'll tell me, oh, I hate vanilla. Don't put any vanilla in here. And I kind of laugh because first, when you mix two things together, it's going to become a completely different thing. And second, it's because that discovery of, oh, I hate this, but then you smell it and you smell it in combination with other things, and it just completely takes you off guard. And they're like, oh my gosh, but I love that. Or the things that they come in thinking, I love, and then they smell them and they say, oh no, I don't love that at all. So that self-discovery piece, it's a big piece. It's a very fun. I mean, it's like I said, it's self-discovery in so many ways of what you really love, what you don't love, and then just mixing that thing that's truly yours.
And I really love that you bring your whole self, like all of your senses to this. And I also love that you are helping other people to engage their senses in like a deeper way. So really fun, like juxtaposition there. So let's talk about you as like an artisan or like a maker, right? Because I think a lot of people listening can identify with that, like more of that product-based business. I talk a lot with service-based entrepreneurs. What are, do you think, some of those common fears that keep people from getting into that in the first place, and maybe also from being successful in it? And how do you, what are some things that you've done to kind of overcome some of those hesitations or fears?
Oh my gosh, I think the number one, it's us really. I mean, those deep fears that we don't even know we have. And or like me, for example, I can tell you, my very first go-to was, oh, I could do this. And I'm gonna make a perfume that's gonna be amazing and I'm gonna love it. And I am 100% sure that I can. And then it's kind of funny because it's almost like in parallel, there's another voice. That it whispers a little soft, so you can sometimes you can't even hear those voices because it, and they're like, oh, you know, really? And me, just that I'm an engineer, I'm very comfortable with numbers and mixing and all that. And all of a sudden, one of the first things when I'm analyzing materials is that I have to make a 10% alcohol solution, very basic, 1 to 9. And I couldn't, I mean, it was just paralyzing. And I wanted to make sure that I had the right, the perfect perfumer's alcohol. I wanted it to be the most natural I could, the organic, this, that. And then my paralysis at that moment was reaching out to my professor and asking, so which one? Is this one okay? And is this one okay? And I would ask like in a million different ways the same question to make sure. And it was just me putting on the brakes. Of not going forward. And every little step like that was almost like a complete halt. And it took me a long time to get that first formula together. And I think it was because really, I always say that I was really like slaying all the monsters and dragons, you know, that were preventing me. And I think we have like this, we can dream. We can tell ourselves that I mean, I'm a big dreamer and I will just say the craziest things that I have no clue how that's gonna happen, but I'm like, I know I'm gonna do that. And then at the same time, you know, we dream. I think we sometimes it's like we have these caps of how far do we actually really think we can go. And I feel like one of those mechanisms, it's like a dream so big that it's almost like you can't even do it. Like, you know for sure that's not gonna happen. But you tell yourself, oh, yeah, I'm gonna do it. But it's like this crazy unattainable. And I think as we start growing through this entrepreneurial process, it's this incredible way of getting to know ourselves on such a deep level because you come face to face with what stops you and with what propels you forward. And it's that little step. So it's not even anymore, it's not having a line of perfume anymore. It ceases to be that because what's in parallel going on, it's another entire world. So what I always say when people ask me like how do you do it? And I think it's kind of annoying these answers because you hear them all the time and it's almost like okay, how does that really happen? But really forget about doing everything perfect, especially for people who like to be perfectionists like me. And let me tell you, I'm a little bit of a recovering. I think that part, I'm always going to have a little bit of that, which is fine too. It's good to, you know, put out great things in the world, but not to the point in which it's going to rob you of those beautiful dreams that you have. And once I got over the I mean, once I got over myself, well, it's going to be perfect on the first go. And once I realized how much fun it was to switch things around, right? To, oh, I thought it was going to be this, but look what I discovered. And it's going to be that. And it's always like that. I start with this thing in my head, oh, I'm going to have this kind of perfume. And then by the end, everything changes. Everything changes. There might be one or two things that kind of stay constant, but everything is going to change. But that, and once you embrace that, once you find, I think the play, once you find that there's fun in that discovery, that there's fun in that nimble, you know, to just kind of like, it's almost like switching gears, right? A little bit. And it's like, but everything goes back to those, like I said, I mean, it's kind of funny, but those childhood moments where you're not really thinking about, oh, it's going to be perfect. You're just there to explore. You're just there to have fun. And that's really, that's what helps conquer fears.
I do think that becoming a business owner is like one of the best personal growth journeys you can go on. And like you, so many of the places I am so grateful that I am now came from making a bad decision or making a mistake or trying something that I didn't have any idea whether or not it was going to work or picking up the pieces when something didn't work, you know? So I really do think that once you have the tools and the resources to take a step, take that step. And that first step alone gives you so, so much information about like what you're even doing, right? So I love that. And it does sound cliche or like everybody says it, but it really does boil down to like just continuously moving forward and having fun with that while we do that, you know, not expecting that every single thing needs to be exactly perfect because it never will be. No matter how much we know, no matter how much we learn. All right. I want to wrap up, if you don't mind, by just like connecting with you as a person and asking you some fun questions. First of all, I need that dance party perfume because that was like, I did want to ask you, you keep mentioning natural and like organic ingredients. And so I did want to ask you kind of like how you select those, because probably a lot of people like me are sensitive to different smells and harsh chemicals and things like that. So I did want to ask about the nature of the products itself. And then we'll get into the lightning round, if you want to call it that.
Okay, so I'll give you the quickest answer I can. I started out my journey as an all natural, as organic as I could perfume, and very quickly realized through my studies that natural did not necessarily mean better, and that actually, because these natural components are so intricate, there are layers and layers. Like you were asking me, I think before, and yes, for example, a rose. We think of a rose, and a rose has over 400 natural chemical components at play. That's what gives it the beauty, the color, the scent, and that's why there's so many different varieties depending on where it's grown and all that. So these materials are very, very intricate. And for me, it's almost like they have to be respected even more, because a lot of people, I think, just think, oh, it's natural, so I can just put on as much as I can. But no, there's a lot of so when I formulate to the European standards. My teacher is in the UK, and they are incredibly strict, even more so with natural materials, because there's a lot of allergens, there's a lot of things. So there are definitely thresholds that you cannot go above for specific materials. So having said that, one of the reasons why I love natural materials, it's because they are intricate. They start and they end differently. They will not be on your skin or last as long as a commercial perfume would, because they don't have that fixative that it's in the commercial perfumes. Natural materials, the bases, the woods, the spices, all of that are going to be your fixatives. So they will naturally not be as pungent, they will not last as long, but there are a lot of people who love that. I love that because I don't want to be overwhelmed, or I don't want my perfume to last for days. There are people who want their perfume to last for days, and that's okay. So when I choose materials, I choose with a lot of sustainability in mind, making sure that I'm not wreaking havoc on the environment for choosing things just because I want them. And again, that they come from small farms. So sustainability, small farms, and that's really what's at the forefront of my mind when I'm choosing materials.
I love that. Okay, perfect. Thank you for clarifying because that was a question burning in the back of my mind. All right. So I'd love to just kind of learn about you personally and hear maybe like a book that you're reading right now that you'd like to, maybe it's one that you recommend or maybe it's one that you really don't recommend.
So I'm starting to read The Ride of a Lifetime by Robert Iger.
Ooh, yes. Tell us about The Ride of a Lifetime. What is that about?
So that's a book that's written by Robert Iger. He was the CEO of Disney for many years. And so far, I'm loving it. There's a lot of story in there. So that's really very close to my heart. Stories are one of my favorite things in life in all shapes and forms. And I think that's exactly why. So it ceases to be a book, a businessy book, but it's very, it's it almost sounds like a story. So I really am loving that. And The Alice Network by Kate Quinn, one of my all-time favorite books. I adore that book.
I just finished that book. I just finished it. It's so good. I love, oh my gosh, this is so perfect too for what your line of work. But I love, if anybody has not read that book yet and you're looking for your next great historical fiction read, The Alice Network. It is also such a beautiful way to juxtapose a past timeline with a present timeline and watch as the person's character comes together in like a pivotal moment. It's the best. That is a great book.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps because that's everything that I do in my life all the time. Just, putting all these timelines for that. I just love that moment when everything collides. And I do that in perfume. I did that in engineering. And that's why, obviously, I love that book. That's one of my all-time favorite books.
That is a great book. Okay, and then tell us, what a podcast is that you're listening to right now that you're really enjoying. I always like sharing other podcasts that we love too.
So I love your content and character podcast, I have to say. I'm very drawn to that podcast. And it's kind of funny because every time I listen to your podcast, it's almost like whatever else is going on in my life, you're talking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost eerie. Like it's happened for sure 2 times when we're talking about the love languages. I was in this whole month kick of, getting my kids to take the test and my husband and me and everybody. And I wanted to know how you like to be loved. And it was so funny. And then you talk about it. And I was like, no, that
We're
cannot be true.
connected.
Yes. And I love my perfume teacher's podcast because she is just so good and she has so much great information and just about she does a lot of things with mindset too. And I think especially for entrepreneurs, it's about that same thing, like really what stops you from doing what you want to do. So that's
Yeah.
another one that I would say.
Okay, so shameless plug for myself, but I will include both of those in the show notes as well as the books that you mentioned as well. I also want to include in the show notes how people can find and connect with you online. So could you share your website and maybe like your favorite social media platform? And I'll make sure to include those as well.
Absolutely. My website is marbellaperfumes.com and my Instagram is marbellaperfumes.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. I hope that this just kind of like encourages people and inspires people to think in a new way, especially when it comes to the things that they're smelling. And I definitely hope that they connect with you because I know you have a beautiful story. So.
Thank you so much for having me, Emily. It was such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.